We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Wednesday. It's January 10th. It is 2024. We have an 8-game NBA slate to talk about here on today's podcast. Looks like we're getting rid of the late games. It seems to be the common theme and trend here. So not going to see the two 10 o'clock games on the slate for DraftKings. Joined today by my good buddy, Kyle Murray. Not Kyler Murray. Arizona's out now, so you don't have to worry about people tweeting you. Kyle, what's happening, my friend?
Yeah, not much. You know, no Kyler Murray tweets coming my way now that the playoffs are underway, but it's been a common theme for him. But yeah, looking forward to the NFL playoffs. But yeah, also looking forward to this this NBA. So I think we have like a random 2 o'clock game on Thursday or something too. So the scheduling has just been really weird with the NBA and then with DraftKings, you know, getting rid of the late game. So yeah, it's been weird, but. You know, we still have, I think it's 8-game slate, so not the worst thing.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of prefer the 8-game slate over like a 10 or 12-game slate. So I do think like there's always edge though, and like when you're behind, like your players don't do well at like 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock, and like you have some pivots you can make late in the game. So I mean, I hate it for like the aspect of like edge purposes, but like content purposes, it does not hurt my feelings. I'm not even going to sit here and say that it doesn't. So FanDuel has followed suit, so they only have an 8-game slate. So we're going to break down these 8 games and see what happens. Let's have some fun. We start here with Minnesota at Boston. 224 total in this game. Celtics, a 224 favorite. Minnesota, second end of a back-to-back. They beat up on my Magic on Tuesday night. On the Boston side, Drew Holiday is questionable, Al Horford is questionable, and Porzingis is questionable. Let's start with Minnesota. What do we like here for the Timberwolves?
Yeah, like you said, coming off of they'll be playing on the second half of a back-to-back there, but they didn't really play a ton. It was kind of a blowout pretty early, so I'm not overly concerned with them necessarily being limited a whole lot. Cat had the big game there, and he looked really good, and I don't mind going back to him here, but just because the price is fine at 7-9. But I would say, you know, this is a game that it's definitely going to be a defensive kind of slugfest right here with, you know, two of probably top 4 or 5 defenses in the NBA. I think Minnesota's number one in defensive efficiency. I think last I checked, Boston was 4 or 5. So two really good defensive teams. And then for Minnesota, you know, you have Anthony Edwards up top, Chad up top. Those are the two guys that you can always sort of look at. And you can even mix in Gobert in that realm as well. But I honestly don't think it's going to be a spot where I get to them a whole lot here, just because of the tough matchup. And I do think this game could potentially be really, it could be a really competitive one, which you can always sort of see elevated play in those sorts of games. But I do think it's going to be more of a defensive game than anything else here. So I'll probably stay away from the studs and look at other games. So not a ton of interest other than maybe Cat, because I do think that the price under 8K is still really appealing for him.
We should note that Anthony Edwards left the game for a little while against the Magic. He ended up coming back. Just not a Anthony Edwards type of game, just in general. Like you said, Cat had a big game against my Magic, and Anthony Edwards just didn't get it going. He honestly really didn't need to get it going. You know, Rudy Gobert had a really solid game. Mike Conley was playing well. Jaden McDaniels played well. So we'll see. I mean, if Anthony Edwards were to sit in this game, I think that's a huge bump to Karl Anthony Towns. He has a huge usage bump when Edwards is off the floor. And honestly, if Edwards ends up sitting here, like, some of these Minnesota guys are underpriced for Edwards being out. So watch this news throughout the day. Let's go to the Boston side of this game. A few question marks here. Obviously, Porzingis, Drew, Horford. I think Porzingis would matter the most. I think Drew potentially sitting, maybe like Pritchard would get extra minutes in that scenario. What do we like here for the Celtics?
Yeah, similar to kind of what I said about Minnesota, where you have a few studs up top. Obviously, Boston, we've been dealing with that all year. They've kind of been rotating guys out more, kind of giving guys days off, it seems like, recently. But I don't think this is going to be a game where they do that unless these guys are actually, too banged up to play, just because of, you know, the matchup being against a really good team in Minnesota and really tough matchup. Minnesota's been, you know, just really good across the board defensively. They've been also really good against outside shooting, which I think could potentially just sort of clog this offense down a little bit. So obviously Tatum is always fine to roster at 10-3. The price is up there a little bit, but he's still the one with the ceiling that you'd like to chase here. And again, comes down to just looking for an elite player to just beat a tough matchup. So out of these studs, it would probably be Tatum for me, just because I don't think I would want to necessarily chase these guys who I don't really think are all that, you know, impressively priced, where it's, you know, I don't think that they're, you know, undervalued by any means. Maybe Jaylen Brown on a good night, 8-5, could be really cheap, but I don't think I'm, like, you know, overly dying to play any of these guys at the current price. So I think if I'm looking to chase the ceiling from one of these studs, it would be the Tatum salary there. But again, I do think that there's going to be other guys throughout the slate. There's a couple of really big games with high totals that I'll definitely prefer. So this game's probably not going to be one that I have a ton of interest in.
Yeah, I mean, the next game that we're going to talk about is Washington, Indiana. Like, yeah, that total is 251, so big total in that game. But, I mean, for me on Boston, let's wait and see what the Drew and Porzingis news looks like. If everyone's healthy, I probably stay away just in general here. You know, it is an 8-game slate, so we have a deeper slate than what we talked about yesterday on the 5-game slate. And honestly, just not a ton standing out to me here for Boston if everyone's healthy. Like you said, you could always chase a Tatum ceiling game because he's that guy. But, I mean, tough matchup. And Minnesota's on the back-to-back, but like you started it saying, like, we have the number one defense in Minnesota and the number two defense in Boston. These two teams are the best defenses in the league right now in the NBA.
Yeah.
All right, we got Washington at Indiana, 251.5 total here. Pacers are a 7.5-point favorite in this one on the Washington side. Everyone's good to go on the Pacers side. Halliburton's out, and I mean, that's the biggest news on the slate by far. Everybody else is good. We'll start with the Washington side because that's what we do. What are our thoughts here on Washington?
Yeah, it's funny. We go from the matchup with the two best defensive teams to the two teams with the worst defenses in basketball here. So two teams allowing the most points in the NBA, Washington being last, Pacers being second to last. So really good matchups for both sides. For Washington, I think you have a kind of a wide variety of options just because there are some guys who are pretty underpriced. Jordan Poole, I think at 5'9", I know he's been really bad all year long. It's been one of those things where if you play him, you probably don't want to watch the game because it's super tilting. But at 5'9", he has shown at times, you know, the ceiling to produce there. I mean, even last game, you know, he took 17 shots. He scored 24 points. He wasn't able to really rack up, you know, many peripheral stats. He had 5 assists, but no rebounds, no blocks, no steals. That's typically not going to be something that you expect from most players who, you know, play good minutes. And they also only played 29 minutes. It was in foul trouble a little bit as well, which has been actually pretty common for him this year as well, being in foul trouble, which is not ideal. But he still has the upside to go out there and score 30 points. And especially in a game against the Pacers, the odds of that are probably increased a little bit. So Jordan Poole, I think, is fine. Kuzma, I think, is an interesting play here. He's in that same sort of price range as Karl-Anthony Towns. I think I would prefer Kuzma actually in this spot. I do think Towns is going to be the guy that's a lot lower owned, but Kuzma, I think, could potentially be a little bit popular, but I do think he's a pretty strong play in this spot here. So for Washington, those two guys, and then I think you can still go back to Gafford as well. I've been playing mid-20s to sometimes 30 minutes. He played 31 minutes a couple games ago there against the Knicks. He had 12 rebounds. He's been, you know, rebounding pretty well when he gets the time. And then here against the Pacers, could match up for him to potentially get a couple more minutes, just needing the size there for them to deal with Miles Turner. So I do think that Gafford's definitely a play. You know, he's just under 6K at 5'8 on DraftKings. So I would say Kuzma, Poole, and Gafford are the guys that I'm looking at the most here for Washington.
Yeah, I think Kuzma is my top target. We've seen these like wing type big men do really well against the Pacers this season. And I think this is a spot Kuzma could really excel. I don't mind Denny. I wish he was a little bit cheaper. Tyus Jones, like, I wish he was a little bit cheaper. So it's probably Kuzma, maybe a little bit of Gafford, maybe a little bit of Jordan Poole, but it's definitely a Kuzma type of spot for me on the Washington side. Then going to the Pacers side, we know how bad Washington is defensively. We take off the best player on the team with Haliburton out here. And when we take him off, you know, for court IQ, TJ McConnell gets the biggest bump. He's averaging 1.38 fantasy points per minute. Kudos to DraftKings pricing him up, but I don't think they priced him up enough.
Yeah. I mean, McConnell's always been a guy who has been productive whenever he gets the time, right? And then obviously, you know, you also think that a lot of times when he's getting the run, it's with, you know, a lot of star players not on the floor. So it makes sense to see, you know, the 1.38 fantasy point per minute, like you mentioned, 48% assist rate, which that's the big thing, in my opinion, just because of the fact that Haliburton being out, that's going to be something that is so vacated. So McConnell can easily slide into that role as the facilitator. It's probably not going to be dropping, you know, having those 20 assist games that we saw from Haliburton several times this year, but he can definitely facilitate and dish it around. So McConnell and Nembhard, I think, are going to be pretty interesting fill-in options there. I'm curious to see what their starting lineup looks like. Obviously, they haven't had to do that yet this year, so they have a couple of different options. I would assume either going with McConnell or Nembhard is probably going to be the way that they're going to do it. I don't think that they start both of those guys side by side, just because they have some wings that they could definitely utilize there. And, you know, Nesmith's been playing a lot, Bruce Brown, Hield, Mathurin. So don't think we see both of those guards start, so it could be a spot where the guy coming off the bench could potentially be a little bit more, you know, unowned, or I guess lower owned. I think likely McConnell comes off the bench, and I don't think he's going to be low owned. I think people are going to flock to him regardless, just because of who he is. And yeah, I think he has a, believe it or not, TJ McConnell has name recognition in the DFS streets. So yeah. McConnell and Nembhard, I think, are really strong plays, but Mathurin as well, I think, is pretty interesting, just because he's been a guy this year who, he hasn't been really tasked with a ton of minutes. Like last year, he played a good amount last year. He had several games, you know, several, you know, stints where he was playing, you know, those 35, 36 minute rotations. They haven't really needed him as much this year at times, but I do think this is a spot where they might need his scoring a little bit more. So maybe he sees some more run, and obviously naturally with Haliburton out, that opportunity is there. So Mathurin's a guy that I like a lot, and I'm curious to see obviously where the ownership comes in. But he's a guy that I have some interest in there. And then kind of unrelated to the Haliburton news, but Jalen Smith, he's been quietly racking up, you know, solid minutes, 26 plus minutes in back-to-back games. We know that he's a good permanent producer. He actually just had 29 DK points against Boston and now gets a really strong matchup here against Washington. So Smith's a guy that I have some interest in as well. So I think that, you know, those three guards, Mathurin, McConnell, and Nembhard, and then Jalen Smith are probably going to be my favorite options, but Turner's definitely in play as well at 6'8". He doesn't, you know, necessarily see the biggest boost with Haliburton off the floor, but you know, you should still expect a few more shots there for him. So yeah, I think the Pacers all around have handful of good options, but the value wings and guards make a lot of sense here.
Yeah, so I mean, you pretty much touched on everything that I wanted to touch on. I think Nembhard and Nesmith, Brown, Smith, and Turner start, and I think McConnell comes off the bench with Mathurin.
Yeah.
So I hope people overlook TJ McConnell because, like, it's a yuck price, right? Like, $6,700 for TJ McConnell when we're used to paying $4,500 for a guy. Maybe keeps his ownership down a little bit, but I highly doubt it. Everyone can kind of look up and see who's benefiting with Halliburton off the floor, and it's TJ McConnell. I do want to look at his point and assist props once they start getting posted. I know they have a lot of Pacers props posted, but they don't have anything for McConnell yet. So I'm hoping we get that because I want to be on that. I think that's a really good line to jump on. All right, Sacramento at Charlotte, 234.5 total here. Kings, 6-point favorite. Kings, second end of a back-to-back. They got down really fast in that Detroit game. Ended up coming back and kind of blowing Detroit out towards the end of that game. No injury report for them, obviously, on a back-to-back. And then on the Hornets side, Gordon Hayward's still out. Cody Martin is questionable. PJ Washington is doubtful. Mark Williams is still out. Let's start with Sacramento. We saw Sabonis have a monster game. We talked about it on the podcast yesterday. Detroit's bad against centers. Well, so is Charlotte. Do we go back to Sabonis in this spot, getting a fantastic matchup here against Charlotte?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's in another really good spot here. Obviously, just absolutely went off against the Pistons for that 37-point triple-double. Pistons were up by, like, 20 points with, like, 10 minutes left in the second quarter. And then I think maybe even less. I think it was probably, like, 7 or 8 minutes. And then by halftime, they were down by 5. So I don't know what happened there. I looked away for, like, 5 minutes, and I was like, okay, they blew that lead very quickly. So that was impressive. But that, I guess that's just Pistons basketball right there these days.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, Sabonis, I think, makes a lot of sense. I do think, though, you know, on the second half of back-to-back coming off of a big game with Sabonis, I think he'll be pretty popular. But I think that De'Aaron Fox will be probably pretty contrarian, obviously taking just a guess, you know, first instinct there. We'll see the ownership when it rolls out tomorrow. But if Fox is going to be low-owned, he's a guy that I like here as well. He had kind of struggled last night, and he was pretty popular. So I do think that he's going to be a guy who, if he's low-owned, jumping on Fox can make some sense. Keegan Murray also had a big game there. You know, he shot the ball really well, scored 32 points. Probably not expecting that from him, as well as the 17 shot attempts. Definitely not expecting that, but he is still a guy who can make some sense here at that price. So I think he's in play. And then Kevin Huerter got back in the starting lineup. Didn't really do a whole lot with it, but he was, 27 DK points. That's more than serviceable in the 24 minutes. I think it was 24 DK points actually, but Kevin Huerter, he was fine in the time that he got, but played 29 minutes there, 22 DK points, sorry. So, nothing spectacular on a permanent basis, but getting back in the starting lineup is something that is worth mentioning for him, who's obviously his price has sort of come down. He's been really bad this year, but if he's going to get back to that 29, 30-minute rotation, nice value play there.
Also, potentially leads to more Malik Monk usage off the bench, you know, with Huerter starting. So,
yeah.
I wouldn't be afraid to like go to Malik Monk in large field tournament stuff here, you know, even if he does end up not starting in this game. So, he ended up, I think, with like 40 plus fantasy points in 28 minutes. And I think 28 to 32 minutes is going to be the norm for him if they're going to give Kevin Huerter. Does Malik Monk close that game in a close game? We don't know, but we would assume that Malik Monk would be out there to close the game with his scoring. So, I think you look at that. Keegan Murray is someone like we saw it again. Like he's going to have these nights where he's just going to shoot lights out. Like he shot 13 for 17 and I think he had 5 threes or something like that. So he's going to have these nights where he just shoots lights out. Hate shooters on back-to-backs, but Charlotte's awful defensively. So Sabonis, Fox, Monk, Murray, Huerter, that's what I'm looking at here. And I think we've got to continue to watch these like Trey Lyles minutes. If he's going to continue to get like 28 plus minutes a night, he's under 4K and it's an 8-game slate. I think we, you know, have to at least consider taking some shots on him at that price. Charlotte side of this game. I think in large field tournaments, Rozier and Bridges are both very playable. You know, they're both under 9K. They both are capable of putting up 50 plus fantasy point games. So I think both of those guys are fine. And Nick Richards' size is going to be needed in this game. He's going to play minutes, but now he's up to 5,900. He's not a huge fantasy point per minute guy. So if he's going to be low owned, I think he's a good option. If Nick Richards is going to be chalky, 15, 20 plus percent, he's probably someone I'll stay away from. What do you like here for Charlotte?
Yeah, I do think Richards makes some sense. Obviously, he's been, you know, seeing pretty sizable minutes there with Williams out, but in addition to PJ Washington, who joined him out last game, and he's doubtful again for this one, he's probably going to be pasted in there for 30 to 32 minutes, I would say, on a regular night. Obviously, you have to worry about the foul trouble there dealing with Sabonis, but he played 38 minutes in the overtime game, so 33 minutes in regulation for Richards there. So, if you get that from him, that's not terrible at 5'9". Brendan Miller's a guy I don't mind here. He's sort of cooled off a little bit. He went through that stretch where he was, you know, really hot and he was scoring a lot. The minutes have sort of come down a little bit as well. He's sort of capped out. It seems like 32 or 33 minutes as of late, when a little bit sort of, I think, you know, early middle December, he was playing upwards of 35, 36 minutes some nights. So, he's, you know, his ceiling's come down a little bit, consistency down a little bit, but he's still a guy that I do have some interest in. I think Rozier and Bridges are just a little bit too expensive. Like, it is a good matchup and they have been really consistent, especially Bridges. But they just haven't, like, Rozier's the one with the ceiling that has been shown as of late. He has, I think, 350 DK games in his last four matchups there. So Rozier would be the guy I would prefer between him and Bridges. But I just think at this price, I there are a couple other options that I like, but I would give the slight edge to Rozier for Bridges there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have more interest. And it's the same thing we talked about yesterday with Jaden Ivey. Like, point guards against Sacramento has been a thing this year, and it's like a quietly good thing. And I mean, I don't think Rozier is going to be chalky, but I don't think he's going to be low owned either. So I think it's a good spot to jump on Terry Rozier. And he's someone that I'll also be looking at, like, his point prop in this spot. It's not out yet because Sacramento's on a double, like a back-to-back, but Rozier's point prop, I think, is one we want to look at. He's just been scoring, and like, his usage is just through the roof right now. It's hard to overlook how good Rozier has been. Oh, the game. This is the game, right? San Antonio at Detroit. Battle of the 5-3 win teams. 239.5 total. Spurs, a 3.5-point favorite. Detroit's on the second end of a back-to-back here. We won't get an injury report from them until about 1:30 tomorrow. Bassey, Zach Collins out for San Antonio. We'll start with San Antonio here. I mean, Wimby will crush in this spot, but does he do it enough in 25 minutes? I mean, the Spurs seem very, very okay with giving him 25 minutes a night. We should mention Trey Jones has started the last couple games, and he has played 34 and 35 minutes. Really nice bump for him, but like, his price has come up. What do you like here for San Antonio?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, Jones definitely stands out, 5'8". I feel like there's been a handful of guys now in that sort of 5'5 to like 6'5 range. That
doesn't hurt my feelings, Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know... It's right there in that that sweet spot from a value spot. So I think that could potentially be a spot where there's some chalky guys there, because I think construction will sort of just build that way. But I do think from a value perspective, you're going to have so many that there might be a couple that are under-owned there, and he's definitely one of them. Bogdanović there just above that range, same with Jaden Ivey. So both of those guys, I think, you know, Bogdanović had the big game last night. He got off to just a really hot start scoring, but you know, just another couple guys in that range. But Jones definitely stands out there at 5'8". Wemby, to your point, I mean, the price is at a point where you can still play him here, but you do have to he's had back-to-back games with 50-plus DK points, but that it's just tough to ask for a guy to continue to go out there and put up two fantasy point per minute performances. Like, he definitely could again here against Detroit, but it's just a tough ask. Like, you know, it's definitely something that's difficult, and, you know, you're still kind of just kind of waiting for him to get more minutes there. But, you know, definitely in play just because of the matchup and just because of how good he's been. And that's probably the two guys that I'm looking at the most there for San Antonio, with Jones and Wemby. But if you wanted to take tournament stabs on guys like Vassell and Keldon Johnson, I prefer Vassell slightly over Johnson just because I think he's the better scorer. And I think that's probably a matchup here against Detroit that kind of works better for a guy who has the upside to go out there and get, you know, 30 plus real points there. So Vassell, I think, is somewhat interesting there at 7-3 as well. So Jones, Wemby, and Vassell are probably my favorites there, with Keldon Johnson being in play in tournaments. And then, you know, Jeremy Sochan as well, I guess you could say he's in play. He's been very inconsistent, with not only with his play, but with his minutes. So definitely just a tournament play. But I think the matchup is just so good that he kind of comes into consideration there.
I think I'd limit playing Sochan and Jones like on separate teams. I don't know if I'd play them on the same team. I think I want one of those two guys to have like the ceiling game, like the big assists, get some extra rebounds, score some point type of games. I don't know how your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I would agree. And I would also probably put Vassell and Keldon Johnson in that same sort of world there, just because, you know, they're the same price. So you're probably not, you know, looking to play two guys in the same price there in similar position as well. But also I think that their ceilings, like if one of them goes off, I think the other one's probably going to be hurt a little bit. And especially if you're also have Wemby in your player pool. So yeah, I think you can make both of those rules on San Antonio.
Wimby's like one of those guys where like, even at 25 minutes, even at 8,900, like you have to almost have him in your player pool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a beast. I mean, this is definitely one of those spots where he's going to get some blocks and steals, you know, especially with Cade Cunningham out. So let's go to Detroit. They did tell us that the knee strain for Cade Cunningham is going to get him 7 to 10 days here. So he's going to be out for this game as well. We saw Jaden Ivey, you know, just kind of do his thing. We talked about him a lot on the podcast yesterday. He had a great game. I knew Killian Hayes was a trap play, and like he scored 18.5, but like, I just don't think that Jaden Ivey and Bogdanovich are going to have bad games unless Killian Hayes has a big game. So I think going into this game, it's going back to Bojan. It's going back to Ivey. Durant, if that game stays close, Durant, like, he probably gets there. He got in a little bit of foul trouble too. Like, if you get 28 to 30 minutes for Durant in this spot, he probably has a really solid game. I mean, we saw Alec Burks get on the scoring train. What are your thoughts here on Detroit?
Yeah, a lot to like. Jaden Ivey came out and had a 31% usage rate last game. Obviously, first game there was Cade out, and he actually had 9 3-pointers, only made 2 of them. So you can also argue that there's maybe a little bit of positive regression there. Looked good in terms of some peripheral stats, 5 rebounds, 6 assists for Ivey. So, yeah, Ivey, I think, makes a lot of sense here. Bogdanovich, 23% usage rate, going to be a little bit lower because he's more just of a catch-and-shoot kind of scorer there. Not necessarily facilitating as much, but 26 points, had 14 shots, took 7 threes. So those two guys are obviously going to be the big scorers. But, I mean, quietly, Jalen Duren, he's just been – he's honestly been getting the most of the kind of the increase there in terms of usage. 29% usage rate, that's a season high for him. 22% last game, obviously – Cade, I think, played 7 or 8 minutes, I think, in that game against Denver. So that usage bump makes sense there with Cade out. He had 4 assists last game, 3 assists this game. We know that he's going to produce on the rebounding front, 16-plus points in back-to-back games now. So 12 field goals or more in back-to-back games as well. So Duren, I mean, he's the guy that I'm really eyeing here. The matchup is also good against the Spurs. They haven't been great against centers this year either. So Duren, Ivey, and Bogdanovich, I think, are the guys I like the most there. Hayes is going to project as a value play just because he's going to play, you know, 30-plus minutes again, especially if they're going to start Hayes and Ivey there together. But his price is up $1,000 now, $5,500. So I don't think you necessarily need to play him here. And a good pivot off of him, if he's going to be chalky again, is the guy that you mentioned, Alec Burks, who had a 31% usage rate as well coming off the bench. They only played, I think it was 20 minutes. But again, that's kind of a tournament play that you're going to look at where people are afraid of the lack of minutes, but it's a guy coming off the bench, took 11 shots, 7 from beyond the arc. So, yeah, I think he's also a pretty strong tournament play there, especially a pivot off of Hayes if he's popular.
I think something that I go overlooked in this game is the amount of rebound opportunities, because Detroit and San Antonio are both bottom four teams in offensive rating. They're not great scoring teams. So there's going to be a lot of rebound opportunities. So obviously, because Detroit's on a back-to-back, we won't have props up for them until tomorrow. But I think Duren's rebounding prop comes in at like 10.5. I think that's a strong over for me. I think that that's a number I want to jump on. All right, we got Philadelphia at Atlanta. I think this game is all the makings of fireworks. 244.5 total. Atlanta is a 2.5-point favorite in this one. The injury report was not up when I looked earlier. All right, it's up. So Philadelphia, Joel Embiid and Covington are out. Melton's questionable. And then on the Atlanta side, Clint Capella is questionable. Hunter is out. And Wesley Matthews is questionable with Trey probable. So going to Philly here, Embiid out, Covington out, Melton questionable. If there was ever a time to play Maxey, going up against Atlanta, like, I mean, it just, I don't want to say it's like a no fail spot, but I mean, this is one of the best ceiling spots Maxey's going to get with no Embiid.
Yeah. And honestly, I think, you know, a lot of people would probably agree that he's been sort of, kind of a letdown with Embiid out. I think people have been expecting a lot from him. A lot of underlying numbers look really good for him, but this hasn't really shot the ball well. You know, last two games, he's combined 2 for 15 from three. So obviously those numbers are going to sort of hurt him there in terms of his production. So yeah, I think it's a great spot though. Obviously you mentioned the total. This should be a pretty good spot from a pace perspective, which I think benefits a guy like Maxey, who's looking to run the floor as much as possible. And, you know, his usage rate with Embiid off the floor this year is 32, almost 33%. So the usage has definitely been there, and it's not really a surprise to see. So I think Max is a really strong play. I think Tobias Harris has also been a pretty solid play there, and I think he's going to be again here in this spot. Last game, kind of obviously want to, in my opinion, just sort of write that off there against the Knicks. Just had a down game, didn't play much, only played 24 minutes. So you kind of just write that one off. And the rest of the time, you know, with Embiid off the floor, he's looked really good. I mean, before last game, I think he had 6 or 7 straight games with 13 or more field goal attempts there. So he's been, you know, obviously having a ton of volume there for Harris as well. So those two really stand out. And then I'm looking at, you know, Paul Reed and Mo Bamba as well as potential options. Paul Reed's 5'7", so the price is not necessarily down to a point where he's a smash value play, but played 25 minutes, had 16 points there. If you tell me Paul Reed's going to have 16 points, I am assuming he's going to have a really strong game, but he just didn't really produce from a peripheral standpoint. No stocks, only 6 rebounds. He has more rebounding upside than that, and you're hoping for some stocks, which we've definitely seen more upside of that from him. And then Mo Bamba, he's more of like a tournament flyer play, in my opinion, but he's really interesting in tournaments. His usage has been really solid off the bench, second unit type player there. You're only probably going to be looking for 17 or 18 minutes in terms of a projection, but if the game gets weird, or if maybe Paul Reed gets in foul trouble and Bamba is able to play 23, 24 minutes, I think he could crush here. So Bamba and Reed, I think, are also in play as tournament options. Obviously, you're not wanting to play those guys together, but definitely guys that I have circled here in this one.
So I will note that Melton practiced on Monday and Tuesday. So like there is a chance that he comes back here. We'll have to see if there's any like minute restriction limits announced or anything like that. If he's going to play full minutes at 6,600 against Atlanta, he's another guy I think we can look at in our player pool here. If he's out, I mean, Oubre, even at 6,200, is interesting in an Atlanta matchup. But yeah, Maxey, Harris, Oubre. I don't mind Paul Reed. He's just not my favorite. And like, are we worried, like, if Capella sits in this game goes smaller, especially with him beat out? Like, we could potentially see this game just go smaller overall if Capella sits. Like, maybe, like, a Kongwu plays, like, 25 minutes and, like, Mo, Bamba, and Reed kind of split, like, a 30-minute role. I worry about that. So I want to – I think if you're playing Reed, you kind of want Capella to be starting and good to go in this game. Let's talk about those Hawks. You know, obviously DeJounte is gonna, gosh, he's now getting to that price where he's so interesting. even with Trae Young probable here, Jalen Johnson's price is caught up to the production. He still has some upside in certain matchups. What are your thoughts here on Atlanta?
Yeah, Jalen Johnson, he's been playing really well. He's been rebounding really well, but the price, to your point, is just kind of at a spot where, you know, you need a really big game there at that price. It's definitely possible, but I don't know if I'm going to be banking on it repeatedly there for Johnson to go out there and put up 40 DK points. But, you know, I mean, I think it's just more of a price thing for Johnson. For Murray, to your point, you know, the 7-4 price tag, it's definitely dropping, and he's certainly in play here. You just kind of got to hope that it's a DeJounte Murray game and not a Trae Young game there. But, you know, we have seen at times where the volume's been there. It's just more so the production, and not only from a shooting perspective, but just a peripheral standpoint. Like, his assists are way down as of late. His rebounding hasn't been, he's had some solid rebounding production, but hasn't been anything overly impressive. But the big thing is he hasn't had a stock in 4 games. He has 1 stock over his last 5 games. So, you know, that's just a lot of production that is very valuable in NBA DFS, and he hasn't had any of it. So that's stuff that he's done in the past, and I don't think it's something that we should be expecting that he's just not doing anymore. So it's probably just a little bit of bad luck right now and variance. So definitely fine with going back to DeJounte Murray here at 7-4. Definitely like that price there. If Capella does sit, I think Okongwu was very interesting. You know, I do think that you're probably right. We'd probably see him and Reed sort of just match up and play 24, 25 minutes together. And that could definitely change some things for the rest of the rotation. But Bogdanović is also a guy that I think is pretty interesting here at 6K. Again, another guy who's going to come off the bench and, you know, not play a ton of minutes. So you need some efficiency, but he's a tournament play that I think is very interesting. He's got 14 plus shots in his last 6 games, I think. So he's definitely, even though he's coming off the bench, he's chucking. So Bogdanović, I think, makes a lot of sense here as well.
Yeah, and if Capella does end up sitting, I think Bogdanović potentially grabs a few extra minutes. Because, I mean, Sadiq Bey is already playing a bunch of minutes. Jalen Johnson's already playing a bunch of minutes. So, like, if this game does go smaller, I expect Bogdanović to be, like, the guy closing out, you know, the halves and getting the extra, like, 3 or 4 minutes. So I think I'd still take shots on Okongwu if Capella sits, because he is a good point per minute producer. He's someone that can get blocks and steals on top of rebounding and scoring easy buckets. So even if I do think the game's going to go kind of small, I think Okongwu is someone I want to take shots on. All right, we got OKC at Miami, 234 total in this game. Thunder, 4-point favorites on the Thunder side. Everyone's good to go. And then on the Miami side, Butler's out. Lowry's doubtful. Martin's doubtful. We'll talk about Miami in a second, but let's start here with the Thunder. Just a young team that's kind of rolling here. But the pricing is kind of caught up. It's a tough matchup. Even Josh Giddey, who's had some good games, like, he's now up to 6,200, not in that like $5,500 range anymore. Anything jumping off the page to you here for the Thunder?
I don't think anything's, like, you know, super popping out to where it's a slam dunk play, but I do like SGA in this spot just because I think naturally people are going to look at, you know, the overall season stats of Miami, and they're going to see, okay, pretty good defense. But with Butler being out, and even with Martin being out, you know, that's, you know, it's a lot of defensive kind of prowess there that's going to be out. And then even Kyle Lowry, if he's also out. So there's a couple of guys who I think are just going to really sort of hurt Miami's defensive ability, and I don't think people necessarily account for that as much in NBA when players are out. So I don't mind SGA here at 10-5. You know, he's in that Tatum price range. I would prefer SGA over Tatum in this spot. So SGA, again, it's going to depend on ownership projection. If I had to guess, I would say he's not going to be all that popular just because of who we've sort of, some guys that we've talked about on the slate already. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is a slate where some balance builds sort of end up being pretty popular. But yeah, SGA is a guy that I think has quite the ceiling here in this spot. And I'm hoping that it's one that maybe goes overlooked just because of, you know, people looking at Miami's season-long stats. But outside of that, I think Giddey's fine at 6'2". He has sort of seen that price come up, but he's been more productive. He's been more aggressive offensively too. That's the thing. And, you know, he's not only shooting more, but just his ability to sort of facilitate. And the big thing that's been frustrating with Giddey is when SGA is off the floor and he's playing without SGA, it seems like he's wasn't, you know, taking in any more of the offense, right? But now it seems, at least from, you know, from my perspective, it seems like he's being more aggressive when SGA's off the floor, and that's what you need out of Giddey and Jalen Williams there. So I would say SGA and Giddey are the two guys I'm looking at the most there. Probably not playing a ton of Jalen Williams or Holmgren, though, just because of price. Chet's fine, but probably won't be playing any Jalen Williams here.
Chet could get in foul trouble in this spot against Bam. I mean, I think that's our biggest worry for him. I'm with you on SGA, though. Like, if I'm going to roll the dice on somebody, I think this would be a spot I'd roll the dice on, like, an SGA. Because low ownership, price tag's kind of high, and he's someone that is capable of 70-plus on any slate against anybody. All right, Miami side of this game. No Butler. Sounds like Lowry and Martin will miss as well. I mean, I hope Bam goes overlooked today. Oklahoma City is like one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA, and it's not talked about enough. Like, I could see Bam having like a 15-25 game, and then if he's able to add a couple assists, blocks, or steals here, I think he could smash 8,800 quietly. I don't think he's going to be a guy that gets a ton of ownership. He's not typically a guy that gets a ton of ownership. I mean, Tyler Hero is going to get a lot of shots up in this game. I mean, I think we'll end up projecting him for 20-plus shots. And then after that, it's just like a mix of guys. Like, you have to hit the right one on the right night. We'll see, like, Kevin Love play minutes. We'll see Duncan Robinson play minutes. They use Jovic every once in a while, Josh Richardson. Like, I mean, you could throw all these guys into a player pool and use a little bit of each of them, because it really just kind of depends on who's going to get the run and who's shooting well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, last game we saw Lowry plays about 16 minutes and obviously, you know, got banged up, so didn't finish the game. But those 16 minutes are probably going to get sort of, you know, I guess extrapolated between guys like Richardson, Duncan Robinson, Nikola Jovic, Haywood Highsmith. I think Hero's going to play a lot of point guard here. Hero and Bam are just going to have massive usage rates in this spot, just because just the natural ball handles, even Hawkins as well. Hawkins, I think, is going to be a really interesting tournament play, just because he's kind of at a price now where I think people might naturally overlook him there. But he played 38 minutes last game. And if the game's close the whole way through, it's sort of hard to see a spot where that isn't the case again here, just because they don't really have a ton of options. But he's been pretty bad the last two games, so I think the ownership will be down on him. So Hawkins, I think, is interesting. Bam and Hero, like you mentioned, those are really strong plays. And then I couldn't agree more with sort of having guys like Richardson, Robinson, Highsmith, and Jovic, and even Love in sort of a player pool, and like sort of maybe saying max one or two of those guys. I think my favorite of the bunch would probably be Jovic if he's going to be lower owned, because he was extremely productive without necessarily needing to score there. Robinson, Love, Josh Richardson, all these guys, they need to score in order to, you know, have solid DFS performances, especially Duncan Robinson. But Jovic, you know, he had 8 rebounds, 6 assists in 21 minutes last game. So if he's going to play 24, 25 minutes and sort of have that production, I mean, not to say that he has triple-double upside, but he filled up the stat sheet like he potentially could do, you know, potentially have a triple-double there if he got more minutes. So Jovic, I think, is really interesting. And then Richardson also is interesting because he closed last game. I don't think he'll start here. I guess he could potentially start. I think the most likely outcome is Robinson starts. But Richardson, I think, could be a guy who potentially doesn't start but closes, so people don't necessarily account for how many minutes he's actually going to play when you're looking at roster ownership there. So Richardson could be low-owned as well.
I know they've used, like, Hampton a little bit. I don't know if they'll end up, like, starting him or not, but I don't think you play RJ Hampton if he starts. I think you look at those guys that we talked about. And like Kevin Love, man, if he could just get like a couple extra minutes and grab that like 10th board and get that double-double bonus. He's 5,300, and when he's on the floor, he's shooting. So, and we know that Kevin Love's one of the better rebounders in the NBA. So, I mean, I don't hate this spot for Kevin Love. But you know going in that you're probably looking at 24, 25, 26 minute range for Kevin Love, maybe even less than that. So, you know, that's the risk when you're talking Kevin Love, is always the minutes.
Yeah.
Houston at Chicago, 215 total in this game. The Bulls are a 3.5-point favorite. Looking at Houston first, Dylan Brooks, Eason, Oladipo all remain out. And then on the Chicago side, Levine's probable, Caruso's probable, Patrick Williams is probable. The only person that is out right now, typical player anyway, is Torrey Craig. Let's start here with Houston. What do we like here for the Rockets?
Yeah, so Fred VanVleet was the guy that had the big game last time out, 32 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Sorry, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. And, you know, when you look at the numbers with Tari Eason and Dylan Brooks off the floor, Şengün's actually the one with the massive usage rate, 31% usage rate in about 270 minutes with those two guys out. That's a big number. Then one that we've seen him have, he had a 40% usage rate 2 games ago against the Bucks there. So Şengün's the guy that I'm looking at here. I like him quite a bit in this spot. He's 8'2". I think that price is, I would say, at a spot where he's not going to necessarily be, you know, just slam into lineups repeatedly. So I think he's a pretty strong play here. And then when you look at sort of how the Bulls have been doing against centers, it's been pretty average, probably a slightly above average matchup here for Şengün. So I would say Şengün, Van Vliet, having one of those two guys in lineups is pretty interesting. And then Jalen Green at 6'2 as well. Again, he's another guy who you sort of need to go out there and score 25 DK points to feel like you're gonna, or 25 real points to feel like you can have a ceiling there. But he is somewhat interesting, I guess, if you want to maybe bank on him getting hot from beyond the arc or just getting hot scoring. So Şengün's the guy that I have the most interest in for Houston, though. And the last guy I guess I would sort of want to point out, just because he's been really productive when he gets the time, it's Cam Whitmore. I just think it's gonna be hard for us to project to see him to get more minutes here. But you know, if you know, there's a world where maybe someone else is somehow ruled out, or maybe for some reason we're projecting more minutes, he's been awesome when he's on the floor and he's been very productive. 1.25 fantasy point per minute with Brooks and Tari Eason off the floor. That's tied for the best on this team with Şengün. So if he's able to get more time, again, I don't know if that's going to be something that we're projecting or foreseeing here, but if that somehow occurs, Whitmore is a guy I definitely have my eye on for future slates, or maybe even for tomorrow.
Yeah, it's interesting for sure. Houston's still a really good defensive team. Like, yeah. And I know Chicago is getting healthy, but Houston's such a great defensive team that it's hard for me not to like that Houston +3.5 line.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Chicago side, I mean, everyone's healthy. I mean, you know, now like Drummond becomes unplayable again. We saw Vooch get 30 minutes against Charlotte the other night. Like, now Drummond 6,500, even getting 20 minutes at 6,500, I think I'll pass. His price will eventually creep down. Vucevic eventually will get back to like a 35 minute role. Kobe White is going to see his usage kind of dip a little bit with LaVine and DeRozan playing. You know, we saw Zach LaVine, who was like questionable, and then 36 minutes. Anything here for the Bulls that stand out to you?
Yeah, I think the one thing that stands out to me is that, you know, even with the return of LaVine and Vooch, Kobe White still has had a pretty good usage rate. He's still been scoring pretty well, but it's not necessarily all efficiency. It's been some good volume as well. So, you know, 19 field goal attempts in 2 of the last 3. So White, I still think, is fine. He's definitely going to be a tournament play just because of the price. It would take a pretty strong scoring game for him to crush that price tag there, but don't mind him there. Vooch, 7'3", it's a really cheap price tag, but you know, to your point, it is a tough matchup here. Houston has been a little bit worse on the road. They've been one of the best home offenses or home defenses in the NBA, and they've been struggling a little bit more on the road, but regardless, still a difficult matchup, and obviously Vooch sort of struggling to get the minutes coming back from the injury. But, you know, he has had, you know, only 2 games over the past like week or so. So maybe it's a spot where he's able to get a few more minutes there. So Vooch, 7'3", don't mind him. But other than that, I'm really not overly enthused with any of these Bulls options.
Yeah, I think I'm going to pass on Chicago for the time being until like the pricing kind of adjusts for everyone being back. I mean, if anything, it would be Vooch. Like, it's anybody here, it'd be Vooch. Like, you're hoping it gets that, like, 3 to 5 minute increase, and, you know, that's who I think you'd take shots on if you're going to play anybody for Chicago. All right, we finish out the slate with New Orleans at Golden State. I thought this game was interesting. It's, like, in Golden State, but at 8:30 start on the East Coast. So, very interesting, like, start time. 233 total. The Pelicans are a 1-point favorite in this game. On the New Orleans side, Alvarado is questionable. Ryan remains out. Zion is questionable. Draymond is out still, returned to competition reconditioning, and we know Chris Paul is going to be out for a little while. Gary Payton out with the hamstring strain as well. Let's start here with New Orleans. Zion matters. If he's in or out, definitely matters. What do we like here for New Orleans?
Yeah, honestly, it's going to come down to that Zion news. If he's out, I think you have a, you know, a really good case to be made for all three of these studs, I guess, but particularly Brandon Ingram would like him quite a bit. McCollum's coming off of the big game there against the Kings, even though they won by 33 points and he didn't play any of the fourth quarter. He still had 51 DK points there, 30 points on the night. So McCollum obviously, you know, feeling pretty good right now, especially if Zion is out there. So McCollum and Ingram would be the guys I have the most interest in if Zion is out. But there'll be a couple of value options as well that make some sense. Najee Marshall could potentially, you know, find his way into some more lineups. Dyson Daniels played a lot in the fourth quarter. He played the entire fourth quarter actually last game, so might not mean a whole lot that we saw him play 29 minutes last game. But he's always been not a great permanent producer, but a serviceable guy. So if he's able to, you know, project for more minutes, he could make sense. And then Trey Murphy as well. Those would be the value guys that pop out. But I don't think anything crazy. But if Zion's out, CJ and Ingram are the guys I'm looking at the most here.
Yeah, and like we should mention that it's not a huge decrease for Valanciunas, but Valanciunas' minutes have kind of disappeared since Larry Nance Jr. has gotten healthy. So I don't know how much Valanciunas we want to take shots on. I will say if Zion sits, Trey Murphy is going to be one of my favorite plays on the slate. I already like Trey Murphy as a basketball player, and if he's going to get 30-plus minutes here, which I assume he would if Zion sits, I think this would be a spot we want to take some shots on him. You could see a guy like Herb Jones get a few extra minutes, but he's not a huge fantasy point per minute producer. So I think it'd be Trey Murphy for me. And obviously, like Brandon Ingram, you know, taking some shots on BI is not a bad option here. On the Golden State side, I mean, I think this price for Podsy is really good. This guy is going to play a lot of minutes now with Chris Paul and Draymond off the floor. He's going to have to play a lot of minutes. I think they're going to need like Jackson Davis, like size in this game. I want to play Kuminga, but I hate his potential rotations. And then like, I think there's better options than Steph just in general here. What are your thoughts when it comes to Golden State?
Yeah, Kuminga's got to be one of the more confusing guys to project minutes-wise. Obviously, I think it was 3 games ago he had the game. I think it was against the Pistons or maybe the game before the Pistons game where he didn't play in the last like 16 minutes of the game.
And he was crushing. It was like plus 8 or something. It was like it made zero sense.
Yeah, and he came out and so I don't know if he came out and said it, but there was a report saying that he, you know, didn't have faith in.
Oh, her. He was pissed.
Yeah,
we were all pissed too.
Yeah, we were. Was it the rebounds prop that we were tilting there? So, and then he came back the next game and he was plus 16 there, and I think he looked like their best player. I think that was against the Pistons, and then last game he actually closed the game, but that's not a good thing because there was a blowout where, you know, they had, you know, Jerome Robinson and guys who don't typically play closing the game. So it's definitely weird to see the Kuminga rotation there. He's been one of their best players this year, so I think that they should be getting him more minutes. So maybe it was just one of those things where, you know, he didn't start the fourth quarter, so they were like, all right, let's just let the young guy sort of finish out the game there. But it's definitely tough to feel overly confident in his minutes. You mentioned Pods, his minutes, they should be, you know, pretty solid. He played 30 minutes last game in a game where he didn't play the final 7 minutes because of the blowout. So he seems to be in the same rotation as Steph right now, where they're playing a lot of minutes, not necessarily on the court together, but they're playing the same amount of minutes. So, which makes sense, you know, being their two, it might sound weird, but Pods is a key player right now in the rotation. So he's going to definitely benefit. Steph, though, I think is quietly going to benefit from Chris Paul being out here. And this is going to be a spot where he's just going to be forced to, they're going to go back to more of what they were doing last year. Obviously no Draymond, so they won't have that facilitator off the ball if Steph's off the ball there with Draymond, but they're going to find ways to do. I think Kuminga could actually benefit from Paul and Draymond both being out as well. But when you look at Chris Paul off the floor this year, Steph Curry, his usage is at 31%. I think Steph's a very interesting play here. The matchup is also pretty good against shooters here. I think it's 21st in terms of threes allowed there for For the Pelicans. So good matchup there for Steph and for shooters. So Steph, Pods, and Kuminga, I think, are all pretty interesting plays. And Kuminga is going to be a guy who I think people might be frustrated with, so his ownership is going to be down. But I think he could really benefit from both Paul and Draymond being out.
Yeah, so they had some weird rotations in that Toronto game. They ended up starting like Jackson Davis, Kuminga, Clay, Curry, Wiggins. Wiggins had a terrible game, and the second half they started Sarge over Kuminga, and they started Looney over Wiggins. And like it was the second half, I guess Podsy ended up starting the second half too. So they got a lot rolling in that third quarter of that Toronto game. So I wouldn't be shocked if we see more of like a Sarge starting lineup type of thing here. I don't know what we're going to expect with Steve Kerr's offense right now, just in general. It just seems like, man, like the Warriors seem like they're just having a down year. And if you look at the team, like it's a very young team outside of Clay and Steph. And obviously like Chris Paul's gone now too. So, I mean, I think tournament wise, you're taking shots on Kuminga and Jackson Davis, Steph, Podsy, but I think I'm probably out right now on Andrew Wiggins, especially after seeing him play like a 17 minute awful, like one shot made like type of game. And he just hasn't been that like stud for years now.
Yeah, it's been brutal.
Yeah, it really has. All right, let's play the morning grind game, and then we will get out of here. We'll use DraftKings pricing and scoring as always. Favorite play under 5K to go 7X. Who do you like today?
Yeah, a couple of options, but I'm actually going to go with a really contrarian one here. I'm going to go with Mo Bamba. I know we talked about potential scenarios where he isn't able to get there. And there's a couple other guys. I think Jovic is probably my safer pick if I was going to take him, take one, Nikola Jovic. So I'll kind of give myself a bit of a cop-out here. But if Bamba's able to get 20-plus minutes here, I think he absolutely crushes. He's been fantastic on a permanent basis with him beat off the floor. The matchup has been good for Bamba here as well against the Hawks. So, yeah, if he's able to maybe in a world where Reed gets into foul trouble, if he's able to play 20-plus minutes, I think Bamba crushes here. So I'll go with Mo Bamba.
That's great. Because you mentioned my guy, and I was like, you know, just continue your Mo Bamba take, all right? But yeah, my guy is Nikola Jovic. And Miami's going to be a little bit more shorthanded now. Like, they're dealing with more injuries. So I want to see this guy get, like, a 25 to 30-minute game. We already talked about, like, how bad the Thunder are rebounding, so, like, more rebounding opportunities here. Obviously, he's a guy that can score, he can assist, he can block, he can steal, can fill up the stat sheet at 4,700, and that's what you're looking for those like 7X type of plays. Over 8K to go under 5X, who's your bust today?
Yeah, there's a couple guys that I sort of am worried about here in the spot, but I'm going to go with Miles Bridges, even though it's a good matchup. There's a couple guys who I think are just really strong plays in this range, but it's more so just trying to avoid better options. And so I'll go Miles Bridges here in this spot.
I'm going to go Jaylen Brown. I think if I'm going to pay up for a Celtic, it's going to be Tatum. Tough matchup against Minnesota. Tough just overall game for both teams here. You could easily say Anthony Edwards. If I knew Anthony Edwards was going to try to play and he wasn't like hurt, he would probably be my pick here. I know he was my pick yesterday, but I kind of copped out on that one. He got hurt, and we don't want to see players get hurt. And like Anthony Edwards is definitely someone I don't want to see get hurt. I think he's one of our future superstars. Favorite 6X play today. Who do you got?
Yeah. So I'm probably going to look a little bit more down the board here. The first name that stands out to me is TJ McConnell here. I think the price is really nice for him. I'm going to go with Jalen Duren at 7-1. You know, talked about him and the usage that he's been getting with Cade Cunningham, obviously 7-1 on DraftKings. It's going to take a big game for him there. He got off to a really hot start in that game tonight. So I think, again, if he's able to just, you know, potentially play more, obviously the matchup against the Spurs is a spot where we're not expecting him to get blown out or do any blowing out. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Duren here.
Get off my guys. I love TJ McConnell, man. I hate the $6,700 price tag when you're thinking about TJ McConnell, but I think he plays like 28-ish plus minutes in this spot.
Yeah.
His production is just so high. His assist rate is so high with Halliburton off the floor. And like the Pacers have one of the highest assist rates in the NBA like historic number, like type of assist rates in the NBA. So like this spot here for McConnell, even at this price tag. All right, let's get weird. GPP play of the day. Who do you got for us today?
Yeah, maybe I should have saved Mo Bamba for this one.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah, I probably should have done that. But I'm going to go with Jaime Jaquez instead, 6,100. I think that'll be weird enough. I think, again, there's just so many guys in this price range from 5.5 to 6.5 that are just really strong plays. Jaquez is coming off of two games that he's sort of struggled in. And again, with no Butler, seems like we're going to have no Martin and no Lowry as well, both doubtful. So Jaquez, I think, is going to benefit from that as well. And again, it's just tough to take him off the floor. Not that he's been playing great the past few games, but they just don't have a lot of guys, and he can do a lot of different things. So Jaquez, I think, looking at 38 minutes here in this spot. So Jaquez is going to be my let's get weird GPP play of the day.
I'm going to go to Jaden Ivey. He was around 14% owned on Tuesday's slate. He got a $500 price increase. Fantastic matchup against San Antonio. I hope that the price increase and people are just scared to go back to the well on him. Maybe he's chalkier than I think, but I think there's going to be chalkier plays, especially with like the Pacers situation with no Haliburton. So I'm going to go Jaden Ivey here. Back-to-back days, really like Jaden Ivey. Let's get to the betting portion. We are switching up the morning grind game. We're going to add two betting questions every day to the morning grind game moving forward. We'll do a player prop / pick 'em play and a over-under spread money line bet as well. So switching it up a little bit for everyone. And I've told all the co-hosts in our Slack channel that if they don't like something, don't recommend it. So only recommending something if we like it. Let's start with the pick 'em play or player prop. What do you got for us today?
Yeah, so I'm going to the Detroit and Spurs game here. I think there's going to be a lot of production in this one. And I'm going to take Devin Vassell over 22.5 points. Seems like a pretty big number, which I would agree that it is, but he's been producing pretty well. I think it was two games ago where he had 32 points. And I do think that he has 30-point upside here in this spot. Great matchup against the Pistons. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Vassell. And then, obviously, with Wemby still dealing with the minutes limit, that's even more usage to go around when Wemby's off the floor. So, yeah, over 22.5. It's over on DraftKings.
There you go. I am going to go to Miami and take Bam over 11.5 rebounds. I already bet this as we were going through the podcast. Oklahoma City Thunder, they rank 29th in rebounding rate. Bam is one of the best rebounders. Ton of people out for Miami. He does not compete with anybody for rebounds. I think this is a great spot to get Bam over 11.5 rebounds. He's hit this in three of the last six games, but I think this is a high probability spot for him with everybody out and then the matchup with the Thunder. So Bam over 11.5 rebounds. It's everywhere. I already checked. So you can get this number pretty much in the 110 to 120 range. Let's go to a money line over under or spread bet for us today.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the Kings and Hornets game here. And I know the Kings are on the second half of a back-to-back, which is not ideal here, but I think this number is just still too low. Over 235. Both teams, they like to run up and down the floor and not play a ton of defense. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Kings-Hornets over 235.
I like that. That was actually one of the ones that I considered, so I'm with you on that one. I'm going to go to Houston and say plus 3.5 for Houston. I talked about this as we were going through the games, but Houston's the better offensive team. They're the better defensive team, and they have the higher net rating just overall. So I know they're on the road, and they play worse on the road. But I think even with Chicago back at full strength, Houston's the better team, and we're getting 3.5 points here. So my spread bet here is Houston plus 3.5. Kyle, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I think I'm all set. I think it's going to be a pretty good slate. Hopefully we can potentially have more slates like this in the future where there's the 8 games and then they leave the night games off. I've hated when it's been like a 4-game slate and they leave the night games off. So this one, this is a good slate. I think it's going to be one that we'll have fun on.
Yeah, on Tuesday they had the 5-game slate and they left the 10 o'clock game. And now I'm sitting here going, all right, I'm going to bed. I'm not even waiting up to see what happens in those games. I just want to go to sleep. So hope everyone has a fantastic Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow talking football. We're going to talk playoff football. There's only, I think, like a 3 or 4 game NBA slate. So we're going to skip NBA on Thursday and go football. So come hang out with us for that and have a great night in NBA on Wednesday. We'll see you again on Thursday.